Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Capsule. Here we open the capsule on several health conditions and concerns that may help you gain knowledge to better your well-being. How's it going now?
Not bad. Long weekend this weekend, so pretty excited. Went to Costco. I'm going to come back this week as well. Because, yeah, it's pretty huge.
Yeah. Was it crowded or...?
Not very crowded. Because we went at like 5 PM, so less people there.
Oh, okay. That's
but good. Yeah. I have to sign up membership, and yeah, it's like $50-$60 a year. Can't remember. Then go in. Everything sell like in bulk and stuff. I thought there's a Costco in Sydney. Have you ever never been?
No, not. I haven't been to one. I don't know if they. In Sydney, I'm not too sure, but no, I haven't been, not even here.
Okay, should go, bro, because my cart can bring like two other adults, so you can tag along.
Really?
Yeah,
nice.
Like you need a
cart. Social isolation.
Oh, true. Should be clear soon, anyway.
Yeah, it looks like it's getting a lot better.
Yeah, because 2, 3 or 4 days zero cases, so should be okay. How's work anyway? Still busy?
I feel like it's sort of quieting me down, but it has its moments where you just get a wave and sort of under the pump. Yeah. What about you?
A bit less people now, but like the flu vaccine is still pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, that's still crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So from last week, success of the I episode, then we're gonna extend it to this week episode, so we talk about a few others common eye problems that we might have seen, so that people will be more aware of that. So before we proceed to the different condition, I think we should just summarize of the eye anatomy again so that everyone can refresh their memory. So there are many parts in the eye that must work together to produce like a clear vision. So you got the sclera, the white part of the eye protects the eyeball. The pupil is like the black dot at the center of the eyes, is opening through which light can enter the eye. And then the iris is a color part of the eye, surrounds the pupils. It controls how much light get inside. The cornea is a clear window at the front of the eye, cover the iris and the pupil. A lens located behind the pupil, so it's like a camera lens, focus all the lights onto the retina. The retina is like a light sensitive inner lining at the back of the eyes. Different layers of the cell work together in the retina to detect the light and turn it into electrical impulses by sending the signal up to the brain. The retina has two types of cells that initiate this chemical reaction. So these are photoreceptors, and the two distinct types of cells are the rods and the cones. So the rods are more sensitive to light, therefore they allow people to see low light situations, but no colors. On the other hand, the cones allow people to see color but require a lot more light. So let's start with the first condition is a cataract, which is very, very common, especially among the OH. So you want to start on it?
Yep. So we'll go with what is a cataract first. So it's basically a clouding of the clear lens in the eye, and it's one of the leading causes of vision impairment. So like you said, it's quite common. While cataracts mostly commonly occur in those who are older, they can develop in younger people as well, to the point where some people are actually born with a cataract. So what are some common symptoms? So early symptoms can include glare and sensitivity to bright light. However, as the cataract gets worse, you got more common signs, including blurred, hazy, and foggy vision, halos around lights, distortions or double vision in the affected eye, a feeling of looking like you're looking through a film, veil, or curtain, and changes in the appearance of colors. So who's at risk? So cataracts are part of the normal aging process, but there is more of an increased risk of early onset for those people, such as a family history of cataracts, diabetes, sustained eye injury, steroid treatment, excessive exposure to UV light and smoking. So if you smoke for a period of time, that increases your risk as well.
Yep. Yep, that's right. So there's when we say cataract, people just thought like when you get older, you get cataract, but there's actually a few different types of it. So it could be partial, complete, stationary, progressive, hard or soft. We won't go into detail of each of them because it can take days, but the main type of age-related cataracts are the nuclear sclerosis, corticals, and posterior subcapsular. So the nuclear sclerosis is the most common type of cataracts. It involves the center of the nuclear part of the lens. This eventually becomes hard or sclerotic due to the condensation on the lens nucleus and the deposition of brow pigments within the lens. So can cataract be treated? Yes, we have seen so many people came out of day surgery. It's not even an overnight thing. It just take a couple of hours or just full day and you'll be out of the hospital. And is one of the most common and successful surgical procedures performed not just in Australia, but everywhere pretty much. The cloudy lens cataract is removed and replaced with an artificial lens implant called an intraocular lens. Short is IOL. Many different types of IOLs are available, so you have to check with your ophthalmologist beforehand. So there's a few different type of surgery procedures that you can do for cataract surgery. So the first one is phacoemulsification. Is the most widely used cataract surgeries in like developed world, because you need like this machine is quite expensive, so you need to pay quite a lot of money. So that's why it's more popular in developed world. This procedure uses ultrasonic energy to emulsify the cataract lens, and then they put a new ones in. Another type of surgery is extracapsular cataract extraction, short is ECCE. It's less frequently performed than phacoemulsification, but can be used when dealing with like hard cataracts or other situation where emulsification is not ideal. Manual small incision cataract surgery, MSICS, also evolved from ECCE as well. In MSICS, the lens is removed through a self-sealing sclerotunnel wound in the sclera, which is watertight and does not require suturing, so like sew it back. So even though they are small, this incision is still markedly larger than the keyhole in the phacoemulsions technique. So this surgery is increasingly popular in the developing world, because you don't need like fancy technology with it. So the next one is conjunctivitis.
So this one's quite common. I'm sure you've seen basically at least one or twice a day someone comes in about conjunctivitis.
Yeah.
Into the pharmacy.
Yeah. Very often.
Yeah. So what basically is it? So it's an inflammation or swelling of the conjunctiva. So the conjunctiva is the thin transparent layer of tissue that lines the inner surface of the eyelid and covers the white part of the eye. So it's often called pink eye, as you might see in like TV shows, movies and stuff like that. Conjunctivitis is a common eye disease, especially in children. So it may affect one or both eyes, and some forms of conjunctivitis are highly contagious and can easily spread in schools and at home. So while conjunctivitis is usually a minor eye infection, sometimes it can develop to become a more serious problem. So if you start to see the early signs that we'll discuss later, it's best to get on top of it straight away. So the first type is, so there's four main types: bacterial, viral, chemical, and allergic. So bacterial conjunctivitis is an infection most often caused by staphylococcal or streptococcal bacteria from your own skin or respiratory system. So insects, physical contact with other people, poor hygiene, so touching the eye with unclean hands, or using contaminated eye makeup and facial lotions can cause the infection. So sharing makeup and wearing contact lenses that aren't your own or are improperly cleaned can also cause bacterial conjunctivitis.
You had it? Yeah, I had it from wearing contact lens. So like, it was when I start wearing contact lens and I didn't know how to wash it properly. I think they showed me how, but I just forgot. So yeah, I end up getting conjunctivitis with it. Okay. But yeah,
was it like weekly or?
It was back in Singapore and it was the monthly one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you literally just take them out, put them in the.
Yeah, because I was also being cheap as well with the contact lens solution, because, you know, to clean it, you actually have to use a fair chunk of the contact lens solution to actually wash it every day. Yeah. But I was just being cheap and then just use like small amount, just squirt a couple and then just put it back. And yeah, actually never clean the case thoroughly as well, because you have to throw it away every 3 months. I think you have to get a new one.
Oh, the case itself.
Yeah, the case. Yep.
Yeah. I think they did go over that when I first started wearing contacts, and then they just said start off with dailies because I don't know what I'm doing, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just easier. And so the next one is viral conjunctivitis. So it's most commonly caused by contagious viruses associated with the common cold. So it can develop through exposure to the coughing or sneezing of someone with an upper respiratory tract infection. It can also occur as the virus spreads along the body's own mucous membranes, so which connects the lungs, throat, nose, tear ducts, and conjunctiva. So since the tears drain into the nasal passageway, forceful nose blowing can cause a virus to move from your respiratory system to your eyes.
Yep, in fact, both type are quite similar in terms of the symptoms, because you get like red eye, pink eye, you quite teary sometimes, very itchy, scratchy feeling in the eye. You get a bit swollen as well, burning, irritation, crusting on the eyelid and lash, and then discharge from the eye. But there are some small key difference. Between the two. So if it's viral conjunctivitis, it's normally followed after if you have a respiratory infection. You cause a lot more watery discharge from the eye and start from one eye to another. Bacteria also start from one eye to another. But the discharge is normally like thick kind, like pussy. And not necessarily start appear after a respiratory infection. And then the next type of conjunctivitis is allergic conjunctivitis. So it's caused by allergy. So when you get into contact with allergens, they triggers an allergic reaction in the eyes. So the eye get very watery and normally start both eyes straight away. And then the last type is the chemical conjunctivitis. So it's caused by irritants like air pollution, chlorine in the swimming pool, exposure to like chemicals. So how to treat conjunctivitis? With viral conjunctivitis, not much you can do. It's self-resolving, so don't do anything. But with bacteria conjunctivitis, you can get an antibiotic eye drop, which you can get it from the pharmacy. So this is one of the most very common requests I get in pharmacy, where people just come in, they don't know whether they have viral or bacterial conjunctivitis, and they literally just ask straight away for the antibiotic bacteria. And so many times that I have to refuse it just because the symptom is actually viral or even allergic conjunctivitis. Because at the end of the day, it's antibiotic. You can't just give it up. And first thing, it's not going to work if it's not bacteria. And second thing, it can cause like resistance to it, which is not ideal either. Allergic conjunctivitis can be treated with antihistamine eye drops, and you can use like saline wash or lubricant eye drop just to flush the allergens out. To prevent it, just simple, make sure you don't touch your eye with dirty hands, wash your hands, clean your contact lens properly, very important, especially if you use the weekly, fortnightly, or monthly. If you work in like dusty, irritant environment, make sure you wear eye protection. even though conjunctivitis happen in adult, is a lot more common in children because it's very contagious at school. But you don't actually have to be excluded from a school. You just need to, you know, have protective measure there, really.
So the next one we've got on our list is glaucoma, another quite common one. So glaucoma is a group of eye diseases in which there is a progressive damage to the optic nerves, which carries the vision information from your eyes to your brain. So in people with glaucoma, there's a damage to the optic nerve, and therefore not all the image captured by the eye will reach the brain. So this results in progressive vision loss. So although the damage to the optic nerve can be caused by injury or by poor blood flow, the most common cause of optic nerve damage is increased pressure within the eye. So this is the intraocular pressure, or IOP. And it's generally controlled by the circulation of aqueous, a fluid which bathes and nourishes the eye, keeping it firm and maintaining optimal eye pressure. So the aqueous flows from the ciliary body through the anterior chamber and drains out of the eye via the trabecular meshwork. And if this draining process becomes blocked, the aqueous fluid level within the eye can build up, and that will build up the eye pressure, basically. And so this increased eye pressure can cause ongoing damage to the optic nerve, and that will lead to vision loss and blindness, which is seen in glaucoma. So early detection and treatment is crucial to minimize vision loss. So what are some common symptoms? The most common form of glaucoma starts with the loss of side vision, so your peripheral vision. There is no associated pain or discomfort, and the lack of symptoms makes early detection difficult. As the disease progresses, symptoms may also include painless blurred vision, difficulty adjusting to low light, poor vision in dim light, which may lead to falls or loss of confidence, and if untreated, the continued loss of peripheral vision then can lead to tunnel vision or blindness.
Yep. People who are at risk are more likely with family history, 40 years old and over, short-sighted, have diabetes, or any serious injury to the eye. You might be using steroid over a long period of time or have hypertension. So there's two main types of glaucoma. The first one is primary open angle glaucoma. It's very common, about 90% of the case, the primary open angle. Generally has no warning sign at the early stage and then slowly cause damage and destroy vision gradually, starting with the peripheral vision. In this type of glaucoma, the trabecular meshwork offer increased resistance to fluid outflow. So this caused the pressure to build up inside your eyes, and the iris is in the right position, and the drainage canals are clear, but the trabecular meshwork isn't draining properly. The other type of close angle glaucoma, both the drain tunnels and the trabecular meshwork become blocked. So this is caused by damage to iris blocking the outlet. In this type of glaucoma, the iris is squeezed against the cornea, blocking the drains and the trabecular meshwork. Normally, you will start losing vision really quick, and in that case, you have to go straight to the emergency department and they have to fix it because that's very dangerous. And then those are the primary type of glaucoma. There's a secondary glaucoma, which is caused by other medical conditions such as pigment dispersion syndrome, pseudo exfoliation syndrome, steroid induced trauma. And how to treat glaucoma? You want to start on that?
Yep. So it can be treated with eye drops and other medications, laser treatment, or surgery. So treatment needs to be ongoing and cannot restore vision which has already been lost. Early detection and treatment of this condition can prevent or delay vision loss. So regular checks with an eye care professional are quite important, especially anyone over the age of 40. But also if you're in like a high risk category that you know of. So laser surgery may also be performed in some cases of glaucoma. Different lasers are used to treat open and closed angle glaucoma. So laser can be applied to the iris or the trabecular meshwork to allow aqueous fluid to flow more effectively within the eye and drain better by the normal drainage channels within the eye. Laser surgery, unlike incisional surgery, won't create a physical opening between the inside of the eye and the eye outside of the eye. So in terms of medications, medications help by either reducing the production and inflow of aqueous fluid into the eye or by increasing the outflow pathways to allow aqueous fluid to drain more effectively from the eye to reduce that pressure. And some medications have the ability to actually do both, which would be used in more severe cases.
Yep. So with glaucoma, it's very important to use the eye drops. Like, you have to comply with it. A lot of cases, people just don't do it regularly because you have to do it every day. And the technique needs to be accurate as well. So I'm just going to quickly run through on how to instill eye drops, even though most of people probably know it, but there's some small thing that you might want to pay attention to. So the first step is to wash your hand just to prevent like infections or COVID, whatever. And then you take off the cap, tilt your head back and look up. Gently pull the lower eyelid away from the eye to form a pocket or pouch. And then you squeeze the container to allow one drop to fall onto the eye inside the eyelid. Normally one drop is enough because the eye capacity cannot normally take more than one, maximum two drops. Keeping your head tilt back, look down, then release the eyelid and close your eye without blinking or squeezing the eyelid or rolling the eye around. This next step is where a lot of people don't do. So is press the tip of your fingers against the inside corner of the closed eye. So put a bit of pressures over drainage canal openings. So the reason why you do that is just to make sure that the drops stay within the eye and don't go into your throat. So if you can still taste the bitter taste, then that means that you didn't put enough pressures. And then after that, you use tissue to wipe off any excess medications. And then repeat again if you need to do another drop. If you happen to have to use another drop as well, you have to wait for about 5 minutes to instill the second type of eye drops. The next condition is the diabetic retinopathy. So it's a complication of diabetes. It comes from the name diabetic, which can damage the tiny blood vessels inside the retina at the back of the eye. This can cause bleeding and swelling in the retina and serious affect visions and some case blindness. This condition is actually the most common cause of vision loss in Australia amongst people within working age. So the common symptoms is, there might not be any symptoms at early stage. It could just be you having diabetes. And then the damage might just affect the edge of the retina, so you might don't notice anything. There may be blurred or distorted vision that make it difficult to read, stand at print, watch television, or see people's faces. There may be an increased sensitivity to glare, difficulty seeing at night. Peripheral vision might be affected so that driving is no longer possible and increased risk of fall. So people who are at risk, definitely people who can't control their diabetes very well, have high blood pressure as well, if they have kidney disease or long history of diabetes. In order to treat this diabetic retinopathy, there's a range of available treatment to minimize vision loss, including lasers, surgical procedures, and injections. Early detection is definitely important. That's why when you have diabetes, you have to check your eye every year or even every 6 months just to make sure there's no damage during that time. Just make sure that you control your blood sugar as well. And the last type of eye condition today is the optics atrophy.
So Optic atrophy is the result of degeneration or damage to the optic nerve or retina. The optic nerve transports visual information from the eye to an area of the brain where it's actually processed. So who's at risk? It may be inherited or result from brain injury or conditions such as brain trauma, inflammation, degenerative disorders, hemorrhage, or tumor. It can be progressive or static depending on the cause of the damage. So when making a diagnosis, usually an eye health professional will look for a pale optic disc, which is a clinical sign of optic atrophy. So the optic disc is the portion of the optic nerve visible when looking into the eye. So can it be treated? Vision loss will vary depending on the severity of the atrophy, but due to the nerve damage, optic atrophy is not reversible, and so therefore can't be treated. So now we're going to do a quick little tease for our next episode, I guess.
Well, it's sort of another condition of the eye, which is caused by the stroke. So a lot of people think stroke is the heart, it's just a blood clot inside your brain. So how does that affect your vision? But it can cause loss of the sight or peripheral visions, result in impaired spatial awareness or blur visions, or sometimes even double visions as well. So those are some of the effect that the stroke can cause. So that we'll talk about more in next week episode. Do you have anything else to add on?
No, that's pretty much an eye in a capsule.
Yep. So sort of like a two-parters, and there's actually a lot of conditions with the eyes that you don't know about besides just short-sighted or long-sighted. So it's good to know. So again, if you have any question, please drop us an email at our email contact@breakingthecapsule.com. If you like the episode, please subscribe and follow us on our social media, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you then.
Then, bye.
All of the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you have any questions, please see your healthcare professional.